Today's episode is brought to you by Munchie Mug, the world's number one premium no-spill snack cup. Listen to today's episode for a special offer from Munchie Mug. Munchie Mug, making your life less messy. Hey everybody, welcome to Make Me Come Back. There we are, a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me on the due south wall of our state-of-the-art recording studio slash our bedroom is my lovely wife, co-host, CFO, and just overall great gal, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Appreciate you guys hopping in the backseat for this little podcast that could. And we're recording early on this Tuesday morning because the United States is about to play a soccer game against Iran, as they've been connected. It's a lot of drama on this game. What a surprise that the United States versus Iran has a lot of drama attached to it. A lot of political undertones, if you will. That's on at 11, so we're recording a little early, you know. And
some
still waking up. I've been up, dropped one kid off school. You've gotten two kids out the door to school, and you dropped one off yourself, I should say.
Sure.
We've dropped our van off for an oil change, and now we're podcasting. There was other stuff in there, you know, made the coffee, browse the socials, you know, those type things. But we are
wheeling and dealing.
We're trying to get all those cylinders firing. Certainly, you know, a reference I truly understand because I know so much about cars. But I appreciate you guys coming in. We are going to do a little Thanksgiving recap. We're going to talk about how we are officially in the holiday season and what that looks
for
in our house. We've got a teen Uber story. We want to talk about teens and Instagram. Mel watched a whole movie. We might get to some impulse control stuff. We might get to some stuff about betting. We got a lot going on. But first,
jam-packed.
Want to let you guys know about some upcoming live stand-up comedy shows. Some of you guys may know this, but I am a touring stand-up comedian. That's actually how we make our money, as grateful as we are for these Munchie Mug ads. But there are other ways that we bring in income, primarily through stand-up comedy. So here are some dates that are on sale right now. January 6th and 7th, St. Louis, Missouri. January 27th and 28th, Syracuse, New York at the Funny Bone. I've never played Syracuse. I've never been to Syracuse. Syracuse, I need you to find some people that are there and come out because...
Find a friend.
Sorry.
I think it's just that one sentence and then they flip it at the end.
Yeah.
Found a friend. I don't know. I thought you were right with
Listen, some of those
friend.
Yo Gabba Gabba songs go deep because we haven't watched that show in 10 years and they're there.
I was gonna say it's like 13, but
it's been a long time. And February 8th, Comedy Works in Denver. May 26th and 27th, the Funny Bone in Des Moines, Iowa. And June 16th and 17th in San Diego, California. Now, there are dates that we are working on adding. In the meantime, let me pull out this little calendar. It's a little more confusing here. I'm not going to be able to read this. Okay. Guys, here are some things.
They're coming.
Yeah. I'm going to other places. They're not on sale yet. They're not on sale yet, but Orlando, Tampa. I already said Tacoma. Oh, Tulsa, Oklahoma City. You know, we're working, guys. Most of the touring is going to kind of happen there in that springish area. Oh, Pittsburgh we just added.
Nice.
It's coming together. Everything's going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine.
And also, we just set the Patreon Zoom hang for December. Sunday, December 18th.
If you guys aren't familiar with Patreon, Patreon is a way you can give a little more to Dustin Nickerson Comedy and the podcast and get a little more in return, including a monthly Zoom hang with us and some of our fine patrons. And that is set for December
18th. Yep.
At 2 p.m.
Pacific time.
Yeah, that's going to be one where Mel and I are long distance dating. I'll be in, I think I'm in Indianapolis at the time or something like that, maybe St. Louis. But December's a busy month, so you gotta squeak that in when you can.
That's right. So today... patrons and non-patrons, today is your last day to become a patron the Nickerson Family Christmas card.
Wednesday, November 30th. This is it. You got to go to our Patreon.
We already had
links
Cyber
in the
Monday.
Description there. Patreon, Dustin
Giving
Nickerson
Tuesday.
Comedy.
Today is Christmas card Wednesday.
You got to get in if you want that. We've done the
You're
shot.
Get that mail
it's,
to you.
It's in design right now. Mm-hmm. Things are, you know, wheeling and dealing.
Yep.
Cylinders are firing.
That's right. So much.
Everything is in motion mm-hmm. all the time. So, all right. Well, let's dive into it here. We got a lot going on. First, we gave you a little Thanksgiving preview last week, and we're going to do a little Thanksgiving recap. Let me tell you, Mel and I have officially reached burn traditions to the ground stage of our life.
Did we just like quit on Thanksgiving or just holidays?
I think Thanksgiving just quit on us. You know,
just gave up.
You can get caught in these traditions, right? Which is interesting because you do like doing the same thing over and over. Over and over mm-hmm. and over and over. Yeah. I've been giving Melissa a hard time about this, especially over the last 48 hours.
Yeah.
And then what Melissa wants to do in our little semi-circle here of San Diego mm-hmm. is go to the smoothie place and get a hole-in-one. That's what she likes. She wants that green smoothie.
Yeah.
She wants to go to the coffee place and get an iced champ with oat milk, which is just an iced mm-hmm. latte with a little cinnamon in it.
Chef's kiss.
She wants mm-hmm. to go to City Tacos and get two Pollo City tacos.
Yes.
But if we're going to Chewy's, she wants fish tacos.
I find like one item.
And run it into the ground.
Never again.
Yeah, never again.
I do that.
This is my thing.
do that with like gum packs.
Right.
One flavor.
Melissa has been on green packaged Orbitz.
Single-handedly keeping Orbitz
for 15 years. For 15 years. Now, don't get me wrong. I have benefited from that in that I am that of your spouse.
It's consistent.
You have no wandering eyes because you're like, well, this is my spouse. This is my husband. I have a husband. This is my husband. Mm-hmm. This was first most revealed to me when we were dating. You were young and it was your Red Robin order.
Oh, gosh. I know. I it's embarrassing.
Fill them in on for all of your youth and then on into young adulthood, which you would go to Red Robin a lot in the Northwest. There was a season there where you were going to Red Robin at least once a month.
It was like the only good restaurant
in
Federal Way.
Yeah.
But for a teenager, mm-hmm. I would get Klux and fries, which is just chicken fingers and fries. But you know what? I like ranch, which is also very basic and juvenile, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a kid's meal.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I'm not a burger person, per se. I'm not a foodie.
Not a foodie.
I just...
But really what we realize is you just like having your order.
I like picking one thing that I know is good and then just always getting it.
Yep.
Yeah, because if I don't have one thing, mm-hmm. I pick the worst item.
True.
I impulsively just pick one bad thing at the last second when everyone else has ordered.
Yeah.
And then I freeze and it's bad. And that's why I have to find one good thing in one good restaurant and never change.
Yep.
Or else it's just bad.
Yeah, you know, this is the thing I like. If I go to Wei Wei,
we're getting
Chinese
that broccoli.
You want the beef and broccoli.
Beef and broccoli.
And the black, the salt and pepper wings. Those are good.
Yeah, I found those recently.
And as I tell you, you know, this was a big thing with your beer choice and that you were on the Stone Delicious IPA for about 3 years, which is a fine beer.
Right.
It's not...
The Comedy Store had it.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not incredible, though. It's not like, hey, this is my beer.
But I didn't try all the beers. I just found one.
You just found one that was good enough.
And I was like, this is good.
And I am also one that you found that was good enough to stick with.
Yeah, it's a problem. I don't know.
Why do you think, do you think leads it? Do you just like, you don't like having to make the decision?
I guess,
or you're more, it's the risk reward. You're scared you're going to get the worst item, which have done that.
I was going to joke decision fatigue, which is just a dumb word, but
Everything needs a label now.
Yeah.
Everything needs a label. That's a very... What was the one that I was telling you about the other day?
Decision fatigue.
listen, our generation is like hyper aware, and that's mm-hmm. good. And we mm-hmm. analyze ourselves, and we know our strengths and our weaknesses and our flaws and our diagnoses, and that's good.
Yeah.
But we are in an age now where everything needs a label. Mm-hmm. Like your baby slept well, and now it's not sleeping well. That is called
sleep regression.
Yeah. And to me, I'm like, that's you have a baby.
That's a baby.
That's a baby. Yeah.
I know.
Not everything needs a term.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have a baby who's been alive for less than a year and doesn't know how to sleep yet.
Yeah, the sleep rhythms aren't there. Or it's like oh, does your baby or does your toddler have separation anxiety? Or is he teething?
Or yeah, is he a toddler?
Toddler's teeth.
And he, you know, and his whole life is dependent on you. That's like saying that's
he
like
chose you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the parent.
Saying that a toddler has separation anxiety from its parents is like holding your breath and saying you have separation anxiety from air.
Yeah.
That's your life force.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
There's nothing in the toddler that should be like, okay.
Yeah. No, no. If anything, it's more concerning when the toddler is not anxious around not being anxious about being away from its parents.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No. Hey, idiot.
I know. But people just like to label things.
They do. But you don't. You don't like labeling things.
No. Especially not with my menu ordering. I think so it's
you
because...
So you get decision fatigue because everything needs a label.
Exactly. I think it's because I'm like talking at the table
mm-hmm.
and then I never spend enough time looking at the menu.
That is true.
Never.
Because what you get out of the meal experience is the social.
And the vibe.
The just the, general vibe.
You know?
Mel just loves the vibe.
Of the... coffee shop yeah. or the
yeah
of restaurant
Del, of Del's hideout or yeah. whatever spot you're mm-hmm. in just like the general vibe, what's going on.
You're supposed to like make table talk, like yeah. you're not supposed to just stare at the menu and listen, shut everybody out.
Listen, that's fine for me because A, I don't enjoy table talk, and B, I'm pretty good at menus. Actually, I'm pretty good at like looking at that and knowing what I want. And then actually, I feel like I'm pretty good at helping my family find what's going to work for them too. I don't make yeah. it. I don't choose anybody's mm-hmm. order. I'm not a crazy person. Like,
yeah.
I will be like, Gloria, you can't eat enough food to order off the adult menu yet.
Yeah.
Trust me. And the difference between the kids menu burger and the adult burger is like maybe 20% better, but 100% more cost.
Yeah.
So just get the kids menu one. Claire wants the mac and cheese.
Yeah. Always. She didn't eat it though.
I know.
Because mac and cheese has a lot of forms.
Yeah. You know, mac and cheese is really having a moment. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but mac and cheese is having a big moment right now.
Well, it was really big when they started putting like lobster in it.
Right.
I think that's done.
Right. I think so too.
That was like when we were young adults.
Yeah. Mac and cheese is having a moment. It's getting popular amongst adults, which means it's getting less consumable by children.
Yeah.
Because
too much going on.
Way too much going on. A child wants Kraft mac and cheese.
I know.
Nothing more.
I replicated Panera's mac and cheese for Claire. Pretty good.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
But yeah, you were putting like white cheddar in there and
well,
stuff.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah,
you can like, go to these you'll go to these restaurants and a kid will want mac and cheese. Like, I want some mac and cheese.
Don't want Kraft,
and
you like, fancy mac and cheese.
They're like, no, honey, unfortunately, that is with Gouda and bacon in it.
Yeah.
And you want Kraft mac and cheese.
Yeah.
You're going to hate that.
Butter and noodles. Yeah.
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 Young foodies ruin everything. They really do. They ruin everything. Like they
put bacon in everything.
Young foodies ruin mac and cheese for children because they made it a gourmet item. It's not a gourmet item. It's mac and cheese.
It's pasta.
It's not even pasta. It's less than pasta. It's preschool pasta.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese is preschool pasta. Stop trying to make this some cool, trendy thing that you're into. You're ruining it for children.
What about toast?
Yeah,
toast is for children.
Toast, but avocado toast is good. I'll give you that.
You're right.
Young foodies do kind of tend to, it's very similar to like when we started making adult cartoons. You're like, this is like challenging for a parent because they're like, look, there's a cartoon.
They have billboards
and
advertising.
Yeah.
And you're like,
it's
for adults.
Yeah, you watch this cartoon where the dog makes out with the mom. What? Oh my gosh, no, honey. No, sorry. We were trying to watch Backyardigans.
Yeah. Everyone ruins everything.
Everyone ruins it. Particularly young foodies ruin everything. I'm blaming the young food. It's just, you know, like...
They kind of mix it up.
Just there's so many foods. Why'd you have to ruin mac and cheese? Maybe it's just because I've reached the level now where as an adult...
Well, you can't eat that.
I can't touch that. I can't.
This is kind of why we gave up on Thanksgiving.
It's related.
Kind of why.
I can't eat dairy anymore, and I'm not lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
My 38-year-old stomach is just too exhausted to process dairy anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It can't do it. It doesn't
have. We found that out last Christmas.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the strength.
I made cinnamon rolls followed by a cheese plate And then I don't remember what we did, like beef, like for dinner. Yeah. And you were done.
I was
all
done.
All afternoon,
you I was done by the time the dinner was served because of the cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just knocked me out. It really, it's just like an exhausted, like my stomach, like it like looks at a block of cheese the way
just
that like
shuts
an,
down.
Yeah, the way that like an old boxer looks at like his little highlights of his younger self. Like, ah, back in my day, I could knock down a block of cheese.
You had a piece of pizza the day your book released.
Yeah.
Your body shut down.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. My stomach went insane and I went like my stomach started rumbling, upset. I had to run to a bathroom at a comedy club, which is sucks. and I got exhausted. My whole body was just like, you know what it does? It just takes all the energy that my body has. Mm-hmm. If I'm processing dairy, I'm just
nothing else.
I just shut down. I can't do it. I can't. And I'm not lactose intolerant. I don't have an allergy. My stomach is just tired.
Yeah.
It's just an old man, a stomach that can't do it anymore. I saw a picture or like a commercial for the like Chick-fil-A milkshake. You were in the room. And I was like, I couldn't even begin. It would be easier for me to run a half marathon right now than to drink that and deal with the consequences.
That's a death sentence.
It's a death sentence. It's an absolute death sentence. Mm-hmm. It's actually
ruin your day.
It's gonna it's gonna ruin the family's day because we have one bathroom. But yeah, we went away with family. I wouldn't say family traditions. We still spend a lot of time together, obviously. But we switched catered Mediterranean. Grandpa Don's not thrilled about this, by the way. And I understand because, you know, he's the most traditionalist in the family. But when a grandparent lives with a family, they're kind of attached to that family unit. They are not the primary decision makers.
The first time we catered Mediterranean was we were driving back from LA on Easter. Mm-hmm. And so we just picked it up, came home, did an egg hunt, you know, like, and then we got kind of addicted to that because zero prep, zero cleaning, zero groceries.
Yeah. Well, and enough
you just
time.
Pick your time and show up.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's $100. You do 20 minutes of dishes. We hiked. We went on a day trip to LA. We
went to a theme park with the kids.
Mel watched a full movie.
Which I never
Mel never
do.
Finishes a full I movie because you had a friend have a sleepover. They were watching the Elvis movie. And I was like, hey, you still haven't seen Rocket Man. Let's watch that in our room on my laptop. And you watch
it. He has like a 2.5 hour movie. I never watch a full movie.
So easy. So easy. Everything was just, we had all this extra time. It's fantastic.
It was so nice. We just bought 3 pies.
Yeah.
Put them in the oven.
Listen.
And then they were done.
Like I told you, I think that there are people that really means a lot to them to be the one to cook and provide.
Yeah.
And that's great. Mm-hmm. Do that if you want. We don't want.
Yeah. I think it's kind of fun, but you don't see me that week.
That's the difference.
You know, and I'm like on my feet like all day.
My favorite part of the holidays is you. That's my favorite part. I like that I am spending time with you. I spend a lot of time on the road. And then when we're home, we've got stuff we do. There's appointments, there's
work.
Game, there's games, there's work. There's like the kids games and stuff like that. But a holiday week, everything shuts down. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. There's some sports on TV. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, like the kids don't have a sport. I don't have work, like in-person work. You know, it's
limited appointments.
And when you, depending on how much cheese I ate, and and then when you remove your big thing or whoever's big thing to like cook and stuff, you're like, oh my gosh, I just get to spend more time with you.
Yeah, I mean, last year.
What I'm saying is, if you cook a big family meal, you don't love your family very much.
Oh, stop.
You don't care to spend time with them. If that's your big important thing is to cook, then that what you're telling me is you just want to be away from your family for 6 to 8 hours.
Couple
and then
days.
For them
Couple
and
days.
Then to know, just to know that they're bad mouthing your food.
No.
Gosh, she worked
no,
that
no,
hard.
No.
And then she didn't make rosemary spuds.
Last year
the rosemary
guys,
spuds debacle.
You guys hiked. Mm-hmm. And I cooked, and this year we just all hiked.
We all hiked.
Yeah.
It was great. We all took
a
hike.
Mm-hmm.
I
didn't go to the grocery store last week.
I know. That's a crazy statement.
Mm-hmm. I just
that
like,
is
missed
a crazy statement.
The rush. I didn't see anyone. I wasn't there.
I was going to say that, what was I going to say?
Thanksgiving.
Hi-ki. This is fun. I mean, keep this in, Stephen. I was going to say that I think Mediterranean is twice a year. Like, you get so much Mediterranean food that there was so much left over. I don't think we can do it again for Christmas. It will be too quick of a turnaround because Christmas is in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks right now.
Yeah.
We might have to cater Chinese. We might have to do a honey baked ham situation, which I'm all for. The same rule applies that you spend a certain amount of money, you just go get it. You know what, actually, I think the first breakdown of a tradition was?
What?
It wasn't the Mediterranean that we got for Easter a couple years ago. It was the Thanksgivings in Vegas.
Yeah, that's true.
That's when it started. That's true. Mm-hmm. When we, a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple people travel to destinations over Thanksgiving.
4 or 5 years ago, I did a week in Vegas of shows over Thanksgiving week. There was no show Thanksgiving, but we were like, hey, maybe we should consider this? And your response was like, oh, you mean I don't have to cook for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Sign me up. Mm-hmm. So we went to those shows and we went to, what was the place? Caroline's. Mm-hmm. Caroline's and Caesar's. And
yeah, Caesar's Palace. Yeah.
And we sat down within
Carmine's.
Carmine's. There we go. Carmine's. Yeah. Yeah. Within 5 minutes, we had a glass of wine in front of us. And within 8 minutes, we hit a full Thanksgiving dinner right in front of us.
Yeah.
All just because you order in advance that you order make Thanksgiving reservations. Dinner.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. And then you come, and then at the end, they put it all in these boxes for you. And you leave.
And you leave.
And you go, it was so easy. It was so, and I think that was the beginning of the end for, we do have a lot of holiday traditions in our family. We actually have quite a few. Mm-hmm. And I love all of them. But cooking is no longer one of them. Well, I don't even know if you're going to do cinnamon rolls this year, unless you can make them dairy free.
We are going to have to decide. Because I used to say, like, if I make homemade cinnamon rolls, like, we can't go to a movie. Or if we go to the movie, then, like, you know, I used to put, like, a roast beef kind of thing.
Right.
Like, but you just can't do everything.
No.
You know? So you got to pick.
I'm not sure.
I don't actually.
Listen, we have two Thanksgivings left with Joel in this house. Theoretically. Mm-hmm. I mean, with his generation, he'll probably always live here. That's not a motivation thing. There's not much waiting for him in the world. But the point is, I would love to get rid of anything that feels like work.
Mm-hmm.
The holiday, Christmas is like a lot of work.
It really is.
Were up till like 12:30 last night just doing Cyber Monday shopping, right? Like,
yeah.
We have three children and each other, a grandpa, some grandparents, you know, some various professional associates that you're like, all right, I got to get the stuff for them. And you're like, this just takes time and work.
Planning.
And then you wrap the stuff and, you know, it just takes a lot of work.
Well, you have to like store it too.
Yeah.
And like inventory it, make sure it showed up.
Yeah.
And is it the right size? And, you know, like it's
a lot. And I think there is like part of me that thinks like, oh, I love your cinnamon rolls. They're so good. We love that you make those for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, but what I would rather do is sit down and have a glass of wine and watch a Christmas movie with the family. And
Or go look at Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just put on some Christmas music and hang out, me and you.
Or not be tired on Christmas.
Not be exhausted on, like, you get so many hours back. And it's not an insult to you because you know we love them. You know we love them.
Yeah.
But
we also have like a great donut shop.
We have, that was the other thing. We went and got Mary's Donuts and you're like, well, that's what we do for Christmas is the donuts are there in the morning. Like, all due respect to the cinnamon rolls, the donuts, you just drive and you get them. And then they're there.
Yeah.
They're there.
They make them every day.
Well, and I think that it becomes a treat for you then, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you, for our you house, can blink and miss Christmas. You can, you know, you can just, all the busyness, everything
the
going on.
The
hustle and bustle. Mm-hmm. You can miss Christmas.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think for us, like, and the way our house is, like, wrapping is the hardest part.
Right.
And
we don't have Santa's workshop out
there. We don't have Santa's workshop, and we have to hide stuff. So I just end up using bags.
Right.
Just
so many bags.
All bags.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much the two nights before.
It's so much work. So, so much work.
But, you know.
It's worth it for those little angels. Just making Christmas magic.
I know. And we do have to pack up on Christmas.
Yeah.
You know,
because we're leaving
on the 26th.
So I was going to say this.
Yeah.
This is actually not a joke segue into our ad sponsor.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're taking
I'm leaning too hard.
Yeah, you're getting too comfortable over there. See, that's what happens when you get comfortable. Are you getting twitchy? What's up with you right now? You okay?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Mel gets mad at me when I get real, like, too comfortable on a stage. Mm-hmm. And I think it's starting to hit you that when you do get comfortable, you kind of start getting a little more casual. Like, whenever I was at the Hollywood Improv last week, that's my favorite stage. That might be my very favorite stage to perform on. Mm-hmm. They got a piano and I like leaning on it while I'm up there. And you hate it. You hate it. But you also, like, you know, you got strong opinions on everything. So. Maybe it's just like...
I don't mind the piano
I think it's your menu order. You're like, comedians stand up. That's what they do. They are stand-up comedians. They stand up. They don't sit on... Because you hate a stool sit.
You hate a comic on a stool.
You hate a lean against a wall. You hate... Yeah. And you're like, would you relax? Anyways.
I know.
One of the things that we talked about over it was how much... Everyone was in the house a lot over the last week and a half, which means there were so many spills. One thing that's nice about having like a Munchie Mug in your house is if that thing spills, it doesn't spill. Mm-hmm. If you guys are not familiar with Munchie Mug is the best spill-proof cup on the market. Whatever you have in your life, in your house that you don't want spilled, snack-wise, you're going to be fine
you're
if
set.
You put it in there. Mm-hmm. Mediterranean leftovers. Kebab.
Hummus.
Hummus. Rice.
Pita.
Falafel. Pita. All the stuff.
Eggplant.
All the stuff. Probably more likely, you know, Cheerios.
That's right. Puffs.
Puffs.
Mm-hmm.
Chips.
Little tiny crackers.
Oops, all berry kebabs. All the different little tiny crackers. Munchie Mug is the product for you guys. It's 100% dishwasher safe. It's made right here in the United States. If you go to munchiemug.com, this isn't a Cyber Monday deal. This is a Don't Make Me Come Back There deal.
That's
you're gonna get
right.
20 and use promo code Don't Make Me. That's all one word, no apostrophe. Don't Make Me. You're gonna get 25% off your entire order. Munchiemug.com. Use promo code Don't Make Me and get 25% off your entire order. Munchie Mug.
Making your life less messy.
Boom. There it is. Mm-hmm. So I want to let you guys know that we are having a Christmas party at our house on December 14th.
No, we're not. It's a fictional Christmas party.
Okay, so Mel is an incredibly good decorator. She's very artsy. She has a great eye for these things. She's very creative. She's very unique. She really went all out on Halloween
mm-hmm.
interior. And because of that, her Christmas feels lacking. We got to the end of Christmas and I set up the outside and then you kind of set up the inside and with a little help on both sides there. Mm-hmm. And we kind of got to the end and I just was like, are you done? Is this finished? And I was trying to figure out why it felt lackluster because I was like, well, these are the Christmas decorations that we have, you know?
Yeah.
And then it hit me. It was because you went all out for Halloween.
Yeah, well, there's like a spider web on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm oversized.
Like, well, where's the Christmas spider web?
Yeah.
Where's the stuff? And then you went on some big thing like, I have so many other things to do. You got to fix the bathroom door. No. Which is all fair and valid. I understand
that. You can get locked in the bathroom.
Right. Which then you told me. Well, that's because we had some people over. And then I was like, well, then we should have some people over. And now you're against that idea. To me, it's mm-hmm. like decorations or I'm going to bring people over. What's it going to be? We just want a little more Christmas magic. And I'll help, but I don't have the eye for it like you do. You're very good at it, but you get very bogged down. That's kind of the nature of your personality. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like you could have 100 things to do or one thing to do. Emotionally, you feel the same way.
Yes.
You're like, I got so much to do. Like, actually, you have less to do than
I
you normally
feel
do.
About restaurant ordering.
Yes.
I'm like, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. You do
that's
that.
That's how I feel.
You kind of like, sometimes you have like that attitude that you had like we all had with homework as kids. You're like, you just got to get it started. That's how mm-hmm. it was with Christmas stuff
or
last
exercise.
Night.
Exercise. People are like,
you don't have that one with exercise.
And
But I will, like last night, I had to kind of get us going on the Christmas stuff. Because mm-hmm. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know what you were doing, but you were doing that thing where you kind of look like you're working, where you're just kind of sitting at a laptop. And I was like, I don't think anything's gotten done.
No.
And then I was like, hey, here are the lists. And then I just ordered one of the things. And that kind of got everybody rolling.
I
had already created the spreadsheet and stuff.
Your help with gifts, because that is another area that I dread.
Yeah, it is decision fatigue. That I get. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of pressure to Christmas gifts, you know, gifts in general. But it is like overwhelming. It's like, well, where do you start? And that's where I can be helpful. That's where I take up my old middle management skills. And I can lead a project.
Yeah.
I can be like, okay, well, let's start by asking what our budget is. How much budget do we have for every child? Now, let's compare that to their Christmas list and da-da-da-da-da-da. And dad wants some Birkenstocks. That's all.
I think I just get stuck in the dread of like, they're not going to like what I get.
That might be true.
That happened that one time. And
Well, then, what are you scared is going to happen?
I'll feel bad.
Yeah. And then what's going to happen?
Then they won't like their Christmas.
Yeah.
And then they have to return it.
Do you think that's actually true? They're not going to like their Christmas? I mean, Joel did have one he didn't like.
Yeah. You know, you mess up one kid's Christmas and it haunts you.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. Joel had a year where he cried after, and it was one of those like, oh, we don't quite know how to parent this age child yet. Because you didn't.
Didn't know.
Right. Well, he was really on that cusp. I know. My heart is sad remembering this
story. Well, because it wasn't like a, you know, for when kids, when they get older, like technology can be like a gift.
Right.
For the, you know, like a bigger ticket item kind of thing. But it wasn't quite that yet. And we just missed it, you know? We just missed the mark.
Not really, though. That's the thing. Like, even he was disappointed he didn't get a couple things, but it was actually pretty unrealistic, the things he wanted.
Well, and that's where
we missed the mark and we hadn't communicated expectations. Yeah.
Like, here's what you want. And then actually you do this, like, you start manipulating them. There's no way you'll get that.
I plant seeds. There are a couple.
Just like, never. That would never.
There's
never.
A couple little dad moves that you mean that you shoot your eye out. That's the whole.
That's the whole plot
of that movie is that they were going to get it the whole time.
Yeah.
But they kind of made you think you're not going to get it. I mean, Joel got the Xbox 2 years ago, right? Was that a birthday or something? That was a huge one.
I think it was Christmas and birthday.
Because that was pretty.
Lumped it together.
Yeah. But I understand. I understand the dread.
Kids get older to like clothes, shoes.
Money.
But also like our girls need like dressers. You cannot gift a child a dresser per se for Christmas. You know, it's not that exciting.
It gets really.
It's kind of a foundational tool.
Yeah.
You know, to your life, is having a dresser.
As kids get older, Christmas gifts become so much harder because when they're like eight, they're like, I want a Barbie apartment. And then they're 15, then they're like, I want my own apartment.
Please furnish my apartment. Yeah.
And you're like, I can't do any of that. You're asking for things that we don't have.
Well, I think that's why, you know, like when we help at the Salvation Army, they do Toy and Joy for baby to 12.
Yeah.
Age 12. Because after age 12, like teens are really hard to shop for and they need a lot. They don't have any money. By like the time they're 18, 19, you're like getting them a suitcase set or something. You know, like.
It's just
that weird in between
100%.
Child and adult.
If you're still in young kids' Christmas years, enjoy that. Because it's going to get so hard, so much worse. They're 5 and they're like, I want some Hot Wheels. And then they're 16 and they're like, I want an actual car.
Yes.
Give me a car, Dad.
Plus insurance. Driver's Ed. Oh, I just did the real ID application for Joel. Yeah. It's a lot of work.
This is what having an older child is. You are now spending monthly on insurance what you used to spend on Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So buckle up. Enjoy the young.
I was thinking about gas.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you had a third car and your teen was driving it, that's a lot of gas money, especially here.
Yeah. So one thing that I was thinking about, you and I talked about this earlier this week. One thing that I appreciate about you and I is neither of us are car people.
No.
I'm not a car guy. You're not a car girl. It
doesn't do anything for me.
It doesn't do anything for me. Yeah. I have my midlife crisis car picked out that I'll get 2 summers from now when I turn 40. And that's the thing that you do. And even that is pretty moderate. It's nothing crazy, but we'll get a dent in our car and we'll be like, well,
our babysitter put a dent in our car, our family car.
No, we didn't buff that. We didn't.
Yeah.
No.
It's like that now.
Yeah. This is who we are. This is kind of what parenting is like with 3 kids. A parent of 3 kids, you get a dent in your car and you go, well, the car has the van. The parenting of 3 kids, you get a dent in your van and you go, well, the van has a dent now.
Yeah.
There's no fixing it.
No.
What do I care? No. What do I care that the van has a dent in it? Oh, well, it's going to affect the resale value. Do you think I'm going to resell this?
Never.
I'm going to resell my 2013 Honda Odyssey minivan?
No.
No. No. Absolutely not. We're going to drive it till it catches on fire.
Yeah, we've used that up. It has zero value.
None. It does none. No sentimental value to us. I'm gonna tow it. When we're done with that thing, we're gonna call the tow truck and pop a bottle of champagne and cheers as it gets taken away from us. I don't. It might be in too rough a shape for the dump.
I call it the sand van.
The sand van is very funny. Yeah. Sand and food. There are no doubt like living creatures, amoeba, like bugs in the van carpet. You saw, this happened yesterday. You saw like a mystery stain on your seat.
Yeah.
And you are a very clean person.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, uh-oh, and then walked away.
Some kid had a, you know, Chick-fil-A.
You didn't clean it up, though. That's the point. You didn't clean it up. You didn't make a plan to clean it up. You just walked away.
I just
away.
Saw it and then left it.
That's the family minivan.
Yeah.
The family minivan, you don't clean it up.
Well, the kids vacuum it.
Yeah.
But that's it.
We yeah. make them vacuum
oil
it.
Oil changes and vacuums. That's like all it gets.
Yeah. Oil changes and vacuums. I just need you to drive me on vacation once or twice a year.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to a couple emails. We appreciate you guys a lot. We have a couple emails to you here. This one right here is from Alyssa.
Hi, Alyssa.
Subject, she's a friend of the pod. And this is subject Pajamarama. Hey, Dustin and Melissa. The kids and I were listening to the newest episode and the discussion on pajamas. You asked a rhetorical question about adults in pajamas, and my five-year-old says, adults wear pajamas. She was confused that that was a question. Ha ha. I'm with Mel on this one. Loungewear and sweats are different than pajamas. So this is a discussion from a couple weeks ago, right?
Okay.
Can you remind the listeners?
So I said that I don't own any pajamas and I only own sweats and like t-shirts.
And I said that is ridiculous. You own so many pajamas.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying there's a total difference.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Alyssa's on your side. She says, well, you could sleep in them. You just don't. I totally will change from loungewear into pajamas at the end of the day. If you're baking, cooking, taking care of kids, multitasking, and at some point you might lounge, but mostly you wear loungewear to be comfortable. Pajamas are...
No lounging.
No lounging in the loungewear. That is an interesting point. Loungewear, there's no more lounging in loungewear.
I drive my kids to school in loungewear.
Right. There's a lot of working in loungewear happening now.
But I also sleep in it.
You do sleep in loungewear.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're, so they are pajamas.
It's no.
But you're sleeping in them.
They're sweats. She's saying she takes off her loungewear and puts on pajamas.
But you take your loungewear to bed.
No pajamas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loungewear has never had a looser definition in society.
It's true. We're like at the most casual. There was something over the weekend. Okay. You went to church in shorts and your plastic Birkenstocks.
Uh-huh.
And a hat.
Claire
outdid
me.
Church in a full Pokemon
sweatsuit.
Costume.
Yeah, she was in an Umbreon. It's not a costume.
Yeah, it's
pajamas is what it is. It's a pajama onesie.
It's a onesie with a hood.
Yeah.
I think it'd be hard to sleep because the tail is like a pillow in the back.
Yeah.
So
it's loungewear. It's loungewear.
She wore that. You wore your shorts and your plastic shoes. Gloria probably had her Crocs on.
Uh-huh.
So like there's never been a more casual.
Right. There's never
especially
been.
Especially on the West Coast.
In San Diego, no less.
Yeah.
It's an overall holiday.
Yeah. Holidays light, you know, traveling.
Yeah.
Company.
You can do anything in loungewear now. I mean, a loungewear.
Well, like Lululemon.
Yeah.
Is like $150 loungewear.
Yeah. Loungewear. At some point in the last 10 years, loungewear and activewear became the same thing.
Yeah.
But there are no rules to loungewear anymore. You can wear
it. You can pretty much wear it to work. You can obviously travel in it.
Yeah.
It's but they make those hybrid, the pants that you wouldn't know if they were work pants or loungewear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Construction workers out there wearing Lululemon. The astronauts are in loungewear now. Everybody.
I mean, a jumpsuit is somewhat loungewear. It depends.
Right.
Scrubs.
It used to be a big deal, too, if like someone was wearing tight pants. You'd be like, whoa, that's tight pants. And now there's like the yoga pants era. And you're like, well, this is just what everyone wears now, I guess.
I keep waiting for it to end.
I don't think it's going to end. Are they comfortable?
The guys are showing a lot of ankle now.
ankle, guys.
And women, yeah. too.
Women, yeah. Yeah, scandalous.
I wore, like, these jeans to the game,
right.
the football game. And I had to wear, like, long socks because, you know, in other parts of the country, it's cold all the time.
Right.
It's only cold here at night.
Right.
And I was like, what am I supposed to do with my ankles? My ankles are out.
Well, she says, well, mostly you wear loungewear to be comfortable. Pajamas are what you put on after a shower and go to bed. I think of pajamas as what you wouldn't wear in public other than Walmart, and loungewear is able to be worn without drawing too much attention. Also, jeans are the worst. Amen. I don't wear jeans. I never wear jeans. Thanks for this hot topic debate. Can't wait to hear other opinions on the matter. Also, thanks for a great podcast we can listen to with the kids in the car without fear of language issues. Well, Alyssa, F. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Hi, kids.
Yeah, hi, kids. Everybody, thanks for listening to the podcast. Yeah, I agree. There is a level of sweats that I won't wear to pick up or drop off. There's a very fine line between loungewear and pajamas, mm-hmm. and that is most on display at school drop off.
True.
That's where
you're wearing a pajama set. It looks bad. Slippers.
Slippers. The parent wearing slippers. You couldn't get the flip flops out. You couldn't put on a pair of sandals.
I wore Vans. I wore slip-on Vans for years.
For years.
For the school pickup.
For school. But I'm talking school,
like,
drop-off.
I was like, or drop-off pickup.
Well,
I don't
morning
even have to tie my shoes.
Listen, it's your life. Wear what you want to wear. Dress the way that you want to dress. But I will say, the parent that drops their kid off in full pajama set, I'm like, your life is in shambles.
This is your intervention.
It's so easy to get...
Just put a sweatshirt over it.
Well, that's the thing. It's so easy. We live in an era now where it's so easy to convert that into socially acceptable loungewear.
Yeah.
It's so easy to find that now. Their sweatpants are just as comfortable. They make sweatpants that are just as comfortable. Put on a hoodie. A hoodie looks great.
At a puffer vest.
Anything. Put a puffer vest over the pajama set looks better.
Yeah.
And then the slippers. I mean.
You might as well have curlers in your hair.
That looks more acceptable at Walmart than it looks at school drop off.
Yeah.
The poor kid. The kid's looking at the parent like, hey, I got ready. Why can't you?
Okay. I will be honest. I've said this before. When Claire was a baby, I wore an oversized DJ Cat t-shirt
for a whole school year. An entire school year. You wore the same school shirt.
I was DJ Cat mom. I thought it was ironic.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I was a hot mess.
Yep.
You know, third baby.
And it's
But that was my pajamas.
Yeah. But it wasn't pajamas. That's the difference.
Just a t-shirt.
That was your pajamas, but that wasn't pajamas.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real difference maker. Listen, we all have a day. We all slip up sometimes. Mm-hmm. I've worn baggy sweats, like the equivalent.
Raggedy baggy sweats.
Raggedy baggedy sweats.
Yeah.
At maybe once every 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. But it's on such a contrast because you have so many parents who are on their way to their jobs.
Yeah, they're 9 to 5. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're like in suits and uniforms.
Yeah.
The kid's looking at you like, I brushed my teeth and my hair.
Yeah.
I got ready for the day.
I know. But sometimes the parents get the kid to school, get ready, go. Sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
And
you want to give them a little something. Listen.
Just as time goes on, your standard gets lower and lower.
Yeah.
You know? It's unfortunate, but it happens to the best of us.
Anyways, thanks for the email, Alyssa. Let's do one more email here.
That being said, like, plaid pajama pants are very back amongst the youth.
Are they?
Yes. Do you remember that was a 90s, 2000s kind of thing?
Yeah.
People just wear pajama pants. Remember that?
I do. Yeah. That was. Oh, it was kind of like, because Joel's been wearing his a lot
now. Kind of just like you could just wear like boxers, it's like shorts. Oh, yeah.
And girls were wearing boxers there for a while.
Yeah. And it's kind of the same vein, like the plaid pajama pants. Yeah. They're totally back amongst the youth. and they wear them to school now.
It's all cyclical. They're wearing puka shell necklaces and baggy jeans, and you're like, oh, I remember that. I remember that a lot. Okay, one last email. All right, this is from Andy. Subject is adult friends. Hello, I've been listening for years now and absolutely love your authenticity as you work through things together on the pod. It's so real. But Mel's tears over friendships this last episode really hit home for me. My husband was diagnosed with kidney cancer this week, the week of Thanksgiving last year, and immediately had his kidney and the cancer removed. We spent the last year going to monthly immunotherapy treatments at the cancer center, and so far there's no sign of cancer in his body. So thankful for that. But it's so much to process, and I feel like I really needed friends this last year. But because I didn't want to feel like I'm bringing people down or trying to take over conversations with literally the hardest thing I've ever gone through, I've shied away from friendships and have spent almost no time with face-to-face friends. It's painful and lonely, but the alternative is risking putting yourself out there and being vulnerable. Listening to Mel talk through this made me feel brave enough to try to get together with a friend in the next couple of weeks. So thank you for sharing your honesty. Friend of the show, Amber.
Oh, Amber, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it's really hard, Amber. Sorry, I said Andy at the beginning because it was a shared email address from Amber there. Yeah, I'm really sorry you guys are going through that. I think that's a good articulation of part of the reason it is so hard to make adult friends or lose adult friends that you had. If you just go, I have so much baggage and I want someone to help share that with, but I don't want to be a burden to you.
And you only have so much energy.
I only have so much energy.
That's the hard part about being an adult.
Putting it out there and it not being received or not being met with love and acceptance.
Or understanding.
Yeah. You're just like, I can just only do this so much. I can only do this so much. But Amber, I am really glad that you're doing it because it is needed.
Yeah.
There is, you know, I was, you and I were hiking the other day and I was thinking about how many just like lonely adults there are. You know, it's just hard to have friends because your lives go different.
It's hard to initiate.
It's hard to initiate and it's hard to sustain. And it's just, I guess an adult friendship is, it's very easy for it to fall away.
Yeah, it's back burner, you know?
Yeah. You know, we've had friends like move and stuff. You're like, oh, if this is going to sustain, like our whole lives, that's happened, right? Because we've moved. And when you moved, that I think I felt it the most when we moved. You're just like, man, we were so close to a lot of these people. But
it was the proximity.
If I don't actively sustain this, like hard, like I have to work hard to sustain, like any long distance relationship, you're like, I just kind of, like you said, back burner, kind of out of sight, out of mind. So, and then when you add the heaviness of just adult life of grief and struggle and sickness, it becomes harder and harder. So Amber, thankful that you're part of the pod and glad that Mel's honesty resonated with you and inspired you in some way. And all the best to you guys.
Yeah, it takes a lot of bravery to try again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Amen. All right. Thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. Appreciate you guys so much.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Wanted to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up level patrons. Thank you so much for your support of the podcast in Dustin Nickerson Comedy. That is Trey Turner, Nathan and Jennifer Merritt, Adam Bush, Jennifer Ashley Downs, Juliana Smith, Jordan Cowan, Code to Grow, Courtney Eidling, Lori Amos, Dave and Melissa Cox, Isaac Teron, Farah Journey, Bonnie Galindo, Carrie Teague, Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Dave Hoagland, Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Nicole Carraz, and Tiffany Payne. Thank you so much, everybody.